The UK report.
I will tell you, a sequel that is playing itself out very badly at the moment is that of the G7 and the disaster of the diplomacy that is coming out of the US presidency, Donald Trump. He is now en route to Singapore to have that historic summit between himself and the leader of North Korea. And Gavin Gray, that's where we start this morning. Good morning to you. The summit ended up in disarray and disharmony at the G7 meeting in Canada.
Yes, very much so. Good morning to you, Africa. And I think although the communique was issued, Donald Trump withdrawing his endorsement of it, calling the Canadian Prime Minister, the Canadian stance, as dishonest. He says other countries are imposing massive tariffs on the United States. The communique itself only said that it was advocating a rules-based trading system, but Canada is to press ahead with its retaliatory measures on the 1st of July in response to the steel and aluminium tariffs imposed by Donald Trump. Interestingly, a couple of quotes here. Justin Trudeau, the Canadian Prime Minister, says Trump's decision to invoke national security concerns to justify the steel and aluminium tariffs is insulting. Now, Donald Trump had said if we don't make our own aluminium, that could really affect our capability of making our defense and any equipment needed for our armed forces. Justin Trudeau saying Canadians are polite and reasonable, but we won't be pushed around. For the UK, I don't think they'll be overly surprised about any of that, but where they will be very pleased is the general rounding on Donald Trump over his attempt to get Russia reintroduced to the G7 to become the G8. Originally, Russia was banned over its invasion of Crimea in the Ukraine, but of course, since then, we've had the downing of the plane MH17 and also the nerve agent attack on Sergei Skripal here in the UK. And Theresa May determined that sanctions should continue against Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, rather, and there should be no weakening of that stance.
Theresa May, obviously in Quebec as well at that G7 meeting, missing out on the celebration of the Queen's official birthday and the trooping of the colours that comes with that. All of that happening at the back of a leaked recording of her foreign secretary throwing UK Brexit process into a spin as he demands Theresa May gets tough on negotiations.
Yes, it's going to be a very interesting week ahead. I would imagine Her Majesty will be very pleased. Her official birthday celebrations went well and are now over because she can relax a bit. Not so for the British government. A very big week ahead when it comes to Brexit how they're able to get the various legislation through Parliament this week. They've had no less than about a dozen amendments imposed on it from the House of Lords, the advisory chamber, so it's come back to Parliament. And it's likely quite a lot of those will go through. There are some fairly minor amendments to it, but there are ones that the government simply won't want to accept at all. So that's going to have a very tough stance, I think, coming up. Expect a couple of crucial votes Tuesday, Wednesday this week. But the Foreign Secretary, I think, I don't know how he's going to feel about this. The comments that he made to a private gathering were leaked, in which he said effectively the Prime Minister needs to get much, much tougher with the European Union, needs to really start facing them down about some of the things that they're throwing in the way of a deal, and said that Britain has to face the option there could well be a meltdown if there is no deal. And he said, don't panic, though. It'll all be all right if there is a meltdown. He also strongly criticized the Chancellor, Philip Hammond, the money man, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, and some would say almost Deputy Prime Minister. He really criticized him, saying that that department and the Chancellor are basically the heart of Remain. In other words, the headquarters of those who would wish the Britain to stay in the European Union and to frustrate Brexit. So plenty to talk about, you can imagine, in the Sunday papers, and lots of them focused on Brexit.
A very sensitive story in the courts in the UK at the moment, where a transgender man wants to be listed as his baby's father or parent after being told he had to be named the mother because he gave birth to the child.
It's a confusing story, but basically, yes, and this could make very much a British first, because it could be that the little baby who's been born could actually be the first person in England and Wales not legally to have a mother. So what we had is that the man who was originally born a woman fell pregnant, And during the course of this, actually wanted to begin being known as a man and to change her identity. Felt when it came to registering the birth that there was no box he felt comfortable ticking. In other words, it just simply said, you know, mother and father. And he said that forcing him to register as the child's mother breaches his human right to respect for private and family life. The man is accusing the body of setting up to administer all these things relating to births and deaths of discrimination. So it's gone before the courts, and we expect a result sometime in September. But as I said, they say if the man wins, this could be going to be the first time a person born in England and Wales will not legally have a mother.
And your retail sector is in trouble.
Hugely so, yes, partly because, of course, of internet shopping, but also I think just the move away from it to out-of-town retail parks, trouble with parking, congestion in towns and cities, but the high street stores are really struggling. And this week, two big ones have announced major problems. The department chain store House of Fraser. Now, that's a pretty upmarket group with 59 very large department stores across the UK, is to close more than half of them, 31 of the 59 stores to go. 6,000 jobs are being placed in jeopardy, and the stores will close early in 2019. Now, this is despite the House of Fraser Group having annual sales of roughly 18 billion South African rand a year. The problem is it's just not making a profit. And the rents on its stores have gone up. The landlords are putting rents up. They are also finding that the business rates that they have to pay the government are significantly increasing as well. And so consequently, the retailer is in big, big problems. It's now being taken over by a Chinese owner. And they're trying to say that this closure of the 31 stores is a plan that will hopefully sustain the company through in the longer term. Meanwhile, at the other end of the luxury brand, as it were, Pound World, which is a much, much cheaper budget store, it too is in problem. It's going to appoint administrators, and their 5,300 workers are now worried about their job.
11,000 people could be without a job in the coming weeks and months, which is rather disturbing. In France, lawmakers have voted to ban the use of mobile phones by pupils in primary and middle schools.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to know your thoughts on this. Africa, lots of people here saying this is a really, really good idea. Various studies have shown youngsters struggle to concentrate at school. They also find that it helps prevent cyberbullying, social media bullying, and even finding young people at school are viewing pornography. But critics are saying that the ban is going to be really difficult to enforce, and opposition parties say it is just a publicity stunt. So the bill is the result of a campaign made by a promise from the President Emmanuel Macron in France last year. Members of the National Assembly backed the move in a show of hands. So children up to the age of 15 will have to keep their mobiles out of sight while on school premises. And rather interestingly, there was also an amendment suggested saying that actually teachers should therefore have to do the same as well, that you couldn't allow teachers to use their phones out in public if it was going to be something that the pupils weren't allowed. But there's no doubt that in a survey in France in 2016, 9 out of every 10 French students aged 12 to 17 owned a mobile phone, and teachers say that during the lessons they're texting friends, chatting on social media, and it's simply leading to them not concentrating on their studies.
My thought on that, in the absence of teachers being able to use those cell phones as a tool through which learning can be done, no cell phone should be allowed in the classroom. Granted, I mean, we live in a day where, in a time rather, where instant connectability to your parent is something that certainly can come in handy, but almost have a way of when you come into the class after having either having technology that disables the functioning of that cell phone or ask the kids to leave their cell phones in a central point, whatever the case may be. When the learning is taking place, there certainly should be no access to cell phones whatsoever, unless you are using that cell phone as a tool of learning.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you, but I think people are finding it very difficult to enforce here in the UK. We'll see what it's like when France does.
for sure. Gavin Gray, unfortunately, that line really getting rather wobbly there at the end. But thank you very much for this week's edition of the UK Report. We'll be chatting to you again next week, Sunday.